It's so good to be home. I miss you so much. You know, I really do miss you every day. But you know what? The Lord has called us to serve and to help over at Grand Prairie Alliance Church. And he's been showing us, Don and I, that by confirming that, you know, our call there to help and to be a blessing to the people there, by the results that we're getting. And we're just seeing people's lives touched. You know what? We don't have anything public over there. I will say I'm nobody there. I was somebody here, but I'm nobody there. You're saying, well, I thought you were nobody too, here too, but no. But you know what? We don't have a public ministry there. We've been invited for different things, you know, to have more of a public type thing. But we just felt the Lord say no to that. You know, we didn't. It's not our time. It's not the thing He wants us in. But you know what? The Lord has been using Donna and I in a mighty way in terms of just helping people, individuals, and in a small group setting, and so on, and their lives are being transformed by the gospel. So we thank the Lord, and we just see His hand upon our lives and His blessing upon us for going there. So even though we miss you all the time, and it's been a challenge, it's been difficult. We're lonely at times. I feel lonely at times, and crave this, but we're where the Lord wants. And how many of you know you're only going to be ultimately happy where God wants you to be, right? Yeah. Even though there's sometimes a little sorrow with it. So today, the Lord, though, has brought me here, and I have blessings, and I have gifts to bring with me. Amen? And so, yeah. And so, came here, you were a little bit dry, but you're going to come away from here today. You're going to be filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. When you leave here today, I promise, in the name of Jesus. And what I want to do is, I felt like the message that the Lord wanted me to bring today was the benefits, I've entitled, The Benefits of Righteousness. And so what comes to your mind when I say the word righteous? And if you were given this question in a job interview, would you be able to answer it? What comes into your mind when I say the word righteous? And, you know, righteousness in the Bible, let me give you a quick definition of righteousness in the Bible. What would a first century Jew consider to be a righteous person? And really, you know, we need to learn to read our Bibles, not from the way we see it in our culture, but from the way they would see it, right? And because it was written to them first, and then once we see it the way they saw it, then we can apply it to us. And so we can't just leap into it and you know. So what would a first century Jewish person think, or what would come to their mind when they would describe a righteous person? And as I see it, from my study of righteousness, I've been studying it for a while now, is it's just as described in the Bible, it's simply this, that it's possessing love for God and others. And more specifically, righteousness is possessing love for God and others through personal moral standing before God, sacrificial living, faithfulness, generosity, unselfishness, personal character, blamelessness, and goodness. In essence, righteousness is simply loving God and loving your neighbor. That's what righteousness is. It's not, you know, it's not real rocket science. You don't have to have a theology degree to realize that. That's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about righteousness. But righteousness in the Bible is also described as a state of being righteous. And so what I want to do is talk about righteousness. You know, righteousness is, it doesn't have the best of connotation in our culture today. It's just, at the very best, you know, when people talk about someone being righteous, the world has this view that it's kind of they think religious or serious or somber or boring or maybe even worse. When someone talks about someone who's righteous, it has a negative connotation of, you know, some narrow. Bigoted, judgmental, right? Opinionated. It has a negative connotation. But do you know that, and if you've been in the church for a while, and if you've been around the Christian circles, and if you've read your Bible at all, you know that righteousness is an enormous subject in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And, you know, we look at that in our culture and we say, well, like, really, Jesus? Like, that's pretty irrelevant. You mean seek righteousness, the righteousness of God, before I seek money or happiness or family or marriage or children or, you know, security or, and Jesus? Yeah, how many, like, Jesus is Almighty God. He's our creator. So when he said you need to seek his righteousness as the number one main thing in your life, and all the other things that you need and want will be given to you as well, how many think he's qualified to say that? Yeah, of course, because he knows what makes us tick. And so to him, God is trying to get us to make a priority of seeking righteousness, to seeking to be righteous, to seeking to maintain righteousness. The Apostle Paul said, this one thing I do, I want to be righteous. I want to know righteousness. You know, we say, these 47 things I dabble in. Paul says, this one thing I do. And why would you think Jesus, through his apostles and Jesus himself, is trying to tell us why God is wanting us to make the seeking and pursuit of righteousness and the acquiring and maintaining of righteousness the most important pursuit in our life, the first thing in our life? And here's why. Because they know that righteousness is the currency of heaven. That every single blessing and everything that God blesses you with, every promise is going to come to you as a result of being righteous. Did you know that in the Bible, there are at least 300 direct promises, divine promises and blessings given to those who are righteous? I encourage you to get out a concordance sometime and just look up the word righteous or righteousness in the Bible and just see how many blessings come to you. You're going to discover that every blessing comes out of being righteous. And so that's why it's so important that we secure righteousness, that we maintain righteousness, that the pursuit of righteousness must be the main thing of our life. And let me just share with you a few of the promises that are related to righteousness, that are given to those who are righteous, the divine promises. And I trust you're going to quickly see that being righteous secures for you everything from God that is important and meaningful in your life. In Deuteronomy 25, verse 1, it says, the Lord blesses the righteous with every blessing. We are not just talking about some irrelevant religious blessings here. Moses says that every blessing that God gives comes to us because of righteousness. The blessings of God upon your daily life is everything. God tells us here that every blessing comes to us because of being righteous. And I want to ask you, are you not enjoying some of God's blessings on your life? You don't have a blessing problem. You have a righteousness problem. Because the Bible says, God says, every blessing comes to you because of being righteous. Psalm 7 and verse 9 says, the Lord makes the righteous secure. Security is the number one bottom line need of human life. Without security, your very existence is threatened. Is security irrelevant to you? Of course it's not. Is security irrelevant in our world? Of course it's not. Governments spend hundreds of trillions of dollars every year on one thing, national security. Isn't that right? Is security irrelevant? And here it says, the Lord makes the righteous secure. See, if you feel insecure, if you feel unsafe, you don't have an insecurity problem, my friend. You have a righteousness problem. Secure righteousness, and you will have divine security. The Bible says that the Lord himself is a shield for the righteous. Job 22 says, the righteous shall never be cut off from the face of the Lord. I want to ask you this. Is God himself in your face? Is God himself up so up close and personal to you? Do you enjoy intimacy with God every day, always seeing his face up close and personal? Or does he seem distant, obscure, unknown, and unknowable to you? The Bible says the righteous shall never be cut off from the face of the Lord. You see, we don't have a presence problem. We have a righteousness problem. Job 22:3 says, the wicked shall slowly waste away, but the righteous shall become stronger and stronger. Righteousness not only secures and maintains your daily strength, it increases your strength. Strength of body, strength of mind, strength of ability, strength of will, strength of character, strength of emotions. If you are lacking divine strength today, you don't have a weakness problem, my friend. You have a righteousness problem. Righteousness secures strength, increasing strength. Proverbs 28:12, the righteous sing and rejoice continually. The righteous sing and rejoice. If you feel sad, if you feel depressed, you don't have a depression problem, a sadness problem. You have a righteousness problem. And in case you that sounds a bit religious or irrelevant to you, listen to Psalm 32:11. The righteous are glad continually, and they often shout joyfully. Woo! Yeah! You see, let me talk about happiness. The church I'm a member of right now did a recent opinion poll and asked random people on the street, what is your greatest desire in life? And do you know that 2 out of 3 people immediately replied, I just want to be happy. You see, it's not wrong to want to be happy. God created you. We have a happy God who created us, and he wants us to share in his happiness. But the cost of divine happiness is righteousness. It is righteousness. You see, if we're not happy, if we're not happy, and my brother told me one time, he said the only reason why he put off becoming a Christian for so long is because all of his friends were Christians. None of them were very happy. And he said he didn't want to become that unhappy. And I thought, wow. What's wrong with this picture? We'll talk about that later. You see, God promises that if you are righteous, then you're going to be happy continually. If you're not happy, friends, you don't have a happiness problem. You have a righteousness problem. God says the righteous shall be continually glad, and they will often shout joyfully. Jesus wants you to make righteousness the first priority in your life because God is a happy God, and he wants you to share in his happiness. God wants, it's God's will, listen to me, it's God's will that you be happy. Well, brother, I'm joyful. God wants you to be happy. Now I'm shouting. See, the righteous shout often. I always knew there was a reason for that. People say, how come you shout all the time? Oh, because I'm righteous. Psalm 118, verse 15 says, the voices of rejoicing, now listen to this, the voices of rejoicing are in the house of the righteous. Is your home a sad place? You know, the most negative, critical, complaining, whining, arguing places on earth are people's homes. God promises that if you are righteous, your house will be filled with the voices of rejoicing. Does your house lack rejoicing? Is it characterized by strife, arguments, harsh words, or angry silence? You don't have a household problem. You have a righteousness problem. Do you want your house to be filled with celebration, happiness, and the voices of rejoicing? You need to secure and maintain righteousness. Psalm 34:15 says, the eyes of the Lord are continually... No, it doesn't say that. It says the eyes and the ears, hallelujah, of the Lord are continually open to the prayers of the righteous. God said he's going to answer the prayers of the righteous. 90% of Canadians polled in a Gallup poll, it was back in, I believe it was in the 2000s, around 2005. They asked them about, you know, their views about God and things. And 90% of Canadians said that they admitted that they prayed regularly to God. 90%. Only 10% don't pray. And the majority of them, this is interesting, the majority of them were disappointed with the results. And you know, there was very little difference between church people and non-church people in that disappointment. See, anybody can pray. But God only promises to answer the prayers of the righteous. See that? Psalm 37:16, the little that the righteous have, it says, the little that the righteous have is better, it's better than the great abundance of the wicked. The righteous may have nothing at the dinner table but a bowl of lettuce, but God makes that better to them than the steak and lobster at the table of the wicked. How many of you have learned that better is better than more? Better is better than more. Because God has created the human soul in such a way, and it's irrelevant what who you are, what you believe. God has created your soul. You're stuck with this. There's something about the way your human soul is created that better is what matters to you more than more. Better is what matters to you more than more. And the Bible says, the little that the righteous have is better than the abundance of the wicked. In one of the songs that Bob Dylan sings, he says, I was given riches untold, and suddenly I lost every dime, but I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. Do you have a satisfied mind, or do you have a mind that always wants more? You don't have a contentment problem. You have a righteousness problem. Because God makes the righteous content and satisfied. God says, why do you spend your money on what does not satisfy? And why do you labor for that which does not make you content, but that leaves you longing for more? You see, is there an annoying, restless emptiness inside of you? Are you constantly looking for something more? More promotions, more money, more possessions, more clothing, more beauty, more sex, more pleasure, more excitement, more acceptance, more praise, more attention, more achievements, more power, more titles, more honor. Your problem isn't that you don't have enough. Your problem is a righteousness problem. And the reason why you have the disease of more and that you have the symptoms of more is because you have not secured and maintained righteousness. Why did Jesus want us to make righteousness the number one pursuit of our life? Because he knows it's the only thing that will produce a deep satisfaction in our heart and give us a true rest before God. Psalm 72:7 says, the righteous shall flourish and they shall have an abundance of peace. See, only righteousness can bring lasting peace to your heart, friends. The wicked enjoy a measure of peace, but it only lasts as long as everything goes well for them. But God gives an abundance of peace to the righteous, even when everything is going to hell in a handbasket for them. You see, Jesus said, the peace that I give, I do not give as the world gives. My peace I give you. And that peace can only come to the righteous. It is because of righteousness. The Lord says he gives an abundance of peace to the righteous. Do you lack peace? Are you filled with restlessness, inner turmoil, or anxiety? Do you have trouble just resting with a calm inner quietness and sense of well-being? For many of us, I'm afraid in this day, those are few and far in between. The Bible says there's no rest for the wicked. You see, we don't have a restlessness problem. We don't have a lack of peace. We have a righteousness problem. Isaiah 3:10 says, God says to the righteous, it shall go well with them. God says to the righteous, it shall go well with them. I've talked about just a few of the basic blessings of life that come to us from God that are so lacking in our world today. And here's why. It's because of righteousness. Righteousness. Why is that? Because righteousness is the currency of heaven. Righteousness secures and maintains the favor and the blessing of God every day upon your life. So why does God make seeking righteousness the first and highest priority of it? Because righteousness is the currency of heaven. To those who are righteous, God will bless. Without righteousness, God can't bless you. God can't favor you. I want to ask you this. How many of you would like God to bless you with some of these benefits of righteousness? Of course you want him to bless you with those. Your heart craves after these things. So how then? The question of the hour is this. How can I become righteous so that God can bless me with the benefits of being righteous? How can I become righteous? How can I stay righteous? And did you know that God tells us in his word that there are two ways that you can attempt to become righteous? The Bible tells us there are two methods of attempting to maintain your righteousness before God. The first way you can attempt to become righteous and thereby securing the blessings of God on your life is by what you do. And the Bible describes this in this way. It says, calls this the righteousness that is by works, or the righteousness that is by law. See, what that simply refers to is the attempt to become righteous and to remain righteous that comes to you by your performance and by your behavior and by your personal morality. God describes in this way the righteousness that is by works in the book of Deuteronomy. And he says this, if a man keeps all of my righteous standards, then that shall be his righteousness. That is the righteousness that comes by your behavior, by your performance, by your morality, by your service, by your prayers, by your giving, by whatever thing, anything that you do. That is the righteousness that is by works. The righteousness that is by the law. So God is simply saying, if you can perform up to my standards of obedience, to my commands, and you can keep up that up daily, obeying all my commands, then that will be your righteousness. And then I will bless you with all the blessings of being righteous. Houston, we have a problem. Hello? So let me give you, why doesn't this method of becoming righteous work? Why will it never work? Let me give you three reasons this method of becoming righteous will never work for you and never work for anyone. And the first one, put Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 up on the board. Here's the first reason why. That's reason 1, 2, and 3. Hello? Can you see that? Because none of us attain to it by our behavior, ever. You'll never get to the place where you will. See? And so trying to secure and maintain any of the benefits and promises of righteousness by what you do, by what you don't do, by your behavior, by your performance, by your own morality, by your own devotion or prayers or service or goodness or ministry or giving is completely futile, because no one can become righteous in this way and no one can maintain righteousness in this way. See, just as cold, hard cash is the currency of our economy, righteousness is the currency of heaven. God doesn't grade righteousness on a curve, just as your banker doesn't grade your credits and your debits on a curve. Either you have money in the bank after all your bills are paid, or you go without. That's exactly how the righteous and just and fair judge grades righteousness for everyone. There's no difference. It doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what church you attend. Doesn't matter what your experience. Doesn't matter what nationality you are. There is no one righteous. No, not even one. Oh, we know this, but why don't we know this? Well, we don't know it because we keep trying. So this, see, the best behavior, the most righteous Jews in the world couldn't secure righteousness by their behavior or their performance. Then how do we, a Gentile, think that you can do what even the best of them couldn't do? Friends, that's just plain stupidity. And I have to say it, sin can be repented of, but stupid is forever. See, the second reason why this method of becoming righteous and maintaining righteous and trying to secure the blessings of God on your life by your performance doesn't work is because past performance doesn't count for today's demand for righteousness. In Ezekiel 33, God clearly tells us that if a man who was righteous yesterday doesn't perform righteously today, his past righteousness isn't worth a plug nickel in heaven. God says you can be righteous all your life, do all the right things. Read it for yourself, Ezekiel 33. I'm not going to go there. He said you could live up to that. He said you can don't do this, you don't do that, you do this, you do this, you do everything right. He said you could do that. And today, you who mess up, he says your righteousness isn't worth a plug nickel to me. And so that's why it's impossible to maintain the blessings and the favor of God and to secure the promises of God upon your life based upon your daily performance. Because you always have that day when you mess up, right? And this is why most Christians today live a roller coaster Christian life. One day, on the day they perform well and behave well and live well, they are full of faith, full of joy, full of peace, full of happiness and contentment. But because they performed well on that day, and God says to them, that's your righteousness, so I'm going to bless you with all that. And you get blessed with all that. You do. But here's the kicker. The next minute, you mess up. And so down the tubes your faith goes, down the tubes your confidence, down the tubes your peace, down the tubes your assurance, down the tubes the favor of God, and you hang your head in depression. How many can really relate to this? Come on. Yeah, we live there, don't we? You see, so if you try to maintain your righteousness by your performance and thereby earn God's favor and earn God's blessing promised to the righteous, but the harder you try, the more you fail. The more you fail, the less that you enjoy the blessings of being righteous, and you end up being in either denial or discouragement. There are two kinds of Christians who attempt to secure and maintain their righteousness and their performance and by their behavior. Those who are in denial and those who are in depression. Doesn't that suck, eh? Christians who attempt to secure and maintain God's favor and blessing by their performance are either lowering God's righteous standards or they are living in perpetual guilt, fear, and shame. They are either working and serving themselves into burnout, on their way to burnout, to trying to become righteous or maintain their righteousness by serving and working for God, or they are living lives of quiet desperation. There are two kinds of people in the church who are still attempting to secure the blessings and the favor of God on a daily basis in their life. Two kinds of people. There are those who are on their way to burnout, and there are those who have given up and are here in face and body, but inside they are living quiet lives of desperation. But I said there's two ways the Bible tells us to become righteous. I saved the good news for last. Are you depressed yet? You're about to get happy. God has another way. Turn, put up Romans 1, 16 and 17 there on the text. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Gospel means good news. I'm not ashamed of the good news. For it, the gospel, is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who works hard and performs. Is that what it says? It's the power of God for everyone who prays enough. Is that what it says? For everyone who performs well. Is that what it says? For everyone who goes to church. Is that what it says? For everyone who meets, who fasts and prays and reads their Bible every day. Is that what it says? It's the power of God for everyone who believes, plus nothing. That's the good news. Now listen to this. To the Jew first, because they're the ones who are the best at this, trying to attain righteousness by their performance, and then to the Gentiles later, because the Gentiles, they get the same disease. For in it, the righteousness, in what? In the gospel, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. So here now, all of a sudden, in the good news, there is a righteousness that can be yours, that you can secure, that you can maintain, that you can have, okay? And it's a righteousness that isn't based in your performance, that isn't based in who you are, that isn't based in your behavior, that isn't based in your morality, that isn't based in you, in how well you do, but it is the righteousness of God. It is the perfect righteousness of God that you can have, that God is ready to give you, that it is the gift of righteousness. Apart from who you are, apart from what you do, apart from how spiritual you are, it is the righteousness of God. This is the good news. There is a way, a better way. God has a happy way to make you happy, and that's to give you his own righteousness as a free gift. And it says there it's from faith. So that's when you first start believing. From the first time you receive Jesus into your life, you get credited with this gift of righteousness, and we get that in the church. We get that really well. People come along and say, well, you know, I think God, you know, I'm a pretty good person. We say, don't we? All of us would say, no, you can't be saved. You're going to come in on by faith alone in the righteousness of God, or you don't get to be a Christian. And if how many of you would tell your friend that, right? All of you would, wouldn't you? But here's the kicker. It is not just from faith. Some Bible versions say from the start to the finish. It's from faith to faith. You see, the big mistake that Christians make, they're happy and they're full of power and zeal and excitement, and they're full of the first love, and they are so excited for Jesus because they are being given, they believe in the righteousness of God as a gift, and because they do, God blesses them, and somebody dupes them into handing in that righteousness of God at the church door and to exchange it for a manual for self-improvement. And their joy goes down the tube. And we wonder, you know, I think I've said this before. I heard a story about a guy who was so excited. He was so excited, man. He was just shouting and praising the Lord. He was so happy all the time. And the two elders were in the church, and they were looking at him do that. And one said to the other, look at that guy. He's so happy all the time. And the other elder said, don't worry. Give him a couple months. He'll be just like us. Why is that? Because we get duped. We go from faith in the righteousness of God alone, and we're happy and we get blessed, but we get duped somehow, slowly. We don't go to faith. We go from faith to works. We go from faith to service. We go from faith to prayer. We go from faith to Bible study. We go from faith to being a good person. We go from faith to giving. We go from faith to gathering. We go from faith to fasting. We go from faith to going to church. But this righteousness of God is from faith to faith. Hallelujah. From the start to the finish of your Christian life. And this is the way out of the roller coaster Christian living, by the way. This is the way out of being depressed and dejected and full of shame every day and living lives of quiet desperation. God help us. We want people to get saved. Why would they want to be saved and be like us? Hey? You're the depression of the world. Hallelujah. Bunch of washed up, wannabe, could have been, would have been, should have been. See that? It's from faith to start. And so once it is given to you as a free gift, simply by receiving Jesus and by believing in Jesus, it's yours forever. It's a perfect righteousness at the beginning, and it makes a perfect righteousness all through your daily life and even lasts into eternity. This gift of righteousness makes you righteous apart from your behavior, apart from your performance, apart from anything you do, you know. It keeps you righteous perpetually every day. This righteousness doesn't depend in the least upon who you are or upon what you do or don't do from the beginning to the end of your Christian life. The first day you receive Jesus into your life, you become righteous. And every day after that, you stay righteous on the same basis. It starts with being God's righteousness, and it continues to be God's righteousness. And if it's God's righteousness, it's not your righteousness. Someone said, well, what about my righteousness? Well, why don't you just spit in the ocean? I feel a little divine sarcasm coming on here. Anointing for, why don't you just spit? That's how much your righteousness is going to add to the righteousness of God. And so that apart from anything you do or don't do, God can now bless you, favor you, give you every benefit of the righteous every day, today, tomorrow, and forever. Hallelujah. Is that good news? What is it, good news? If you have to work for it, labor for it, strive for it, you know, perform for it, behave for it. What is that good news? Who wants that? That's not good news, friends. And the world is saying to us, that's not good news. And we say, yes, it is. And they're going, no, it isn't. And they're right. When you guys have some good news for us, come back to us. Oh, hallelujah. Romans 3, 21 to 23. Put that up there. It says, but now apart from the law, you ask any Jew at all, what that means, now apart from the law. What is Paul saying there? And they would tell you this. When Paul says apart from the law, he means apart from your performance or your behavior. Apart from your morality. Apart from how faithful you are. Apart from the law. Now here it is again. The righteousness of God has been manifested. Apart from your behavior, there's a righteousness that you can have, that you have for life, and that secures every blessing upon your life. It secures the blessing of God upon your children. It secures the blessing of God upon your marriage. It secures the blessing of God upon your job. It secures the blessing and the peace and the abundance and the satisfaction and the contentment and the power and the anointing that you seek. The righteousness of God has been manifested. And it's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's the Torah, the Old Testament. It's in there, Paul says. Even the righteousness of God that is through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who work hard. For all those who are good. For all those who don't mess up. For all those who get rid of their addictions and compulsions. Is that what it says? No, it's for all those who believe. And there's no distinction. God doesn't show any favorites. It's the only way that God has to become righteous and stay righteous. Turn to Romans 5 up there, Romans 8, 5, 18 to 19. I just want to show you something here. He's talking about Adam and Christ and comparing them, but I don't want to go there right now. That's another story. So then, just as through one transgression there resulted in condemnation for all men, even so through one act of righteousness. Did you get that? Did you hear that? One act of righteousness. Through one act of righteousness, there resulted in justification of life for all men. You know, justification and righteousness are the same thing in Paul's mind. He just uses those terms, you know, just as if I've been righteous all my life. That's what justified means. Just as if I was righteous. So Paul uses those terms interchangeably in his vocabulary because they mean the same thing. There resulted in justification of life for your whole life. You are righteous by one act. You see, the other means of becoming and maintaining righteousness is many acts every day. And the man who does these things, he shall live by them. That's the righteousness that comes by works. But this righteousness says it's given to you by one act for your whole life. What's that one act? It is the death of Jesus. Therefore, having been justified by his blood, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, having been made righteous by that one act made you right. There's a teaching around in the church, and I've heard it for quite some time, and it sort of goes like this, that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, and because he lived perfectly every day, and he gives me that righteousness, that's my righteousness. That is absolutely false. You are not made righteous by Jesus living or his life. You're made righteous by his one act. The one act that's already been done so that you can never add to it. You can never take away from it. It's finished. Right, you've won the lottery of righteousness by one thing, one act. It's Jesus' death plus nothing that makes you righteous. It's Jesus' death plus nothing that keeps you righteous. It's Jesus' death plus nothing that brings every single blessing of God upon your life. The blood, nothing but the blood. Why is it that the church is not, you know, walking in the blessings of God every day? Why are we depressed? It is because we are stubbornly refusing to repent and believe the gospel. You know what we've done? We've abandoned the gospel, the simple gospel, and we have replaced it with a bunch of religious activities that, my friends, add up to nothing but sorcery. There, I said I'm going to run out of here after, so you can't stone me. When we're taught, oh, you know, if you do this and this and this, if you come to this meeting, if you do these 9 steps, these 3 steps, these 14 steps, these 13, these 7 steps, if you do this and this and this, then, friends, that's just sorcery. What's the difference whether you put 9 righteous acts and 10 church services and 4 Hail Marys, or if you take an eye of a newt and a tail of a salamander and a feather of an eagle? Huh? What's the difference? It's sorcery. The works of the flesh are obvious sorcery. Sorcery is as common in your life as lying and cheating and stealing and lusting. It's sorcery to come by the righteousness of God in any other way except through that one act. You see, all the gatherings in the world, all the prayer meetings in the world, all the prophetic acts in the world, all the self-imposed unity in the world, all the repentance in the world will never bring revival or the long-awaiting outpouring of the Spirit. And if it does, it's a counterfeit revival. It's a counterfeit outpouring. I ask God, why are your servants preaching morality and self-improvement? Why aren't they preaching Jesus plus nothing equals everything? And the Lord's answer shocked me. He said, because my people have itching ears to hear it. It's our fault. And I'll give my servants the gospel when my people are sick to death of self-improvement, morality, living to get righteous. Oh, it's awful quiet in here. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 31. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who has become to us wisdom from God and, say it, righteousness. One of the names of Jesus is Jehovah Sid Kanu, or Yahweh Sid Kanu, means the Lord our righteousness. And Jesus, all you have to do is receive Jesus, and you have that righteousness, the perfect righteousness of God that lasts you your whole life. You see? And just as it is written, let him who boasts in the Lord. We got a whole lot of boasting going on in the church these days. Boasting in titles and honors. Boasting in anointings and power. Boasting in gifting. Boasting in this and boasting in that. Well, where is all that? That's from that old system. The whole thing is a bunch of religious crap. And I'm sorry you're not allowed to say crap from this pulpit, but I said crap anyways. Because that's what it is. That's what God calls it. There's only one way to become righteous and maintain righteousness. There's only one way to secure every blessing of God upon your life every day. I thank God every morning. I wake up and I say, I thank you, Lord, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's a good affirmation to wake up to, eh? There was a sister here who told me she had a vision of a banqueting table, and she said she kept going to the banqueting table, and it was full of every blessing, every delightful thing. And she said she kept going up to the table, and then she wouldn't eat. She'd walk away from the table, and she'd come up to the table, and she said, Lord, why aren't I eating it? And the Lord showed her this for this very thing, because she always made it about something in herself, why she couldn't eat. And the Lord said, I have prepared a great banquet for my people. And I want them to come and eat based upon my death on the cross plus nothing. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? There's two types of people here today. You might be here today and you are have never been invited Jesus into your life. You can invite him into your life today. And when you invite Jesus into your life, God makes you righteous in that moment. And the other type of person is you've received Jesus, but somehow you got duped slowly but surely. Paul says somebody bewitched you. You started out this way. You started out with Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And you slowly got duped, and the devil stole your joy. The devil stole your glory. The devil stole from you the righteousness and the benefits of Jesus' righteousness plus nothing. Two types of people today. If I've described either of you, and you're saying today, from this day forward, with God helping me, I am going to trust and rely and totally believe in the righteousness of Jesus through his death alone. I'm never again going to try to seek and maintain the favor of God upon my life or the blessings of God or the answered prayer or anything else except this one means. Jesus died for me. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. If I've described you and you say, I want to make this my life from this day forward, God helping me, and I want God to know, I'd like you to stand up right now. You're going to go on the righteousness of God from this day forward. You know what? Everything, you'll never get persecuted or harassed as long as you make securing righteousness by what you do. But when you make up your mind and you're going to let no man put you under a yoke and you're going to maintain the righteousness of God, belief in that alone, you're going to start to be slandered. You're going to start to be persecuted. You're going to be start to spoken of as evil. You're going to be labeled. My friends, this is the only price of walking by faith. But the Lord will give you boldness. The Bible says the righteous, the wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You want to be bold as a lion? Just maintain this righteousness. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, pray with me out loud. Lord Jesus, forgive me for trying to secure your blessings by my own righteousness. Forgive me for trying to maintain your blessings by my own righteousness. I turn away from that today, Lord, and I turn to the righteousness of God. I believe that Jesus' death plus nothing makes me righteous and keeps me righteous. And now, Father, please begin to bless me from this day forward. Bless me today with the blessings of righteousness. Bless me today with peace. Bless me today with power. Bless me today with the Holy Spirit. Bless me today with abundance. Bless me today with a happy life, a contented life. Bless my home today with happiness. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.